Hello, everybody, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P. I'm your pod host, Kelly Pross. I'm thrilled to bring you a podcast where we will look at golf in a different way than you've probably ever heard before. This is a podcast which will bring a new perspective to the game, no matter if you're a new golfer, a veteran, or anywhere in between. Whether you work in the industry or enjoy the game as the everyday player, this podcast may teach you a few things about the game of golf you may not have considered before. So let's get started. You see, I'm a golfer, but I'm also a professor. I guess you could say that I eat, sleep, and breathe golf, really. I study and read about golf for my job, and when I'm done doing that, I go out there and play. And I don't really say it's just playing, I call it field research, right? So, you know, I've been around golf since I was a kid, and I've played for many years. I've worked in the golf industry as a manager, and I've done some buying, and now I get to study it for a living as a professor. So just so that you know where I'm coming from, I have a PhD from the University of Tennessee in human ecology. And I have an emphasis, it's a big long name, Ed. It's a PhD of human ecology with an emphasis in retail and consumer sciences. That's just a fancy word for basically the psychology side of marketing and retail. So I study consumer behavior and things like that. So if you throw in some psychology and marketing and retail, you have this perfect mix to study the game of golf from a cultural, a psychological, and really a societal perspective. You know, I've been able to witness firsthand how golf works from the side of a player, probably just like you have, but I've also seen it to the practitioner side. But now I get to add another layer. I've seen golf from another unique perspective as the professor. So when I look at a scorecard, think of the one at your club or somewhere you play, and you look at that scorecard, you know, I don't see just a place to write down my score or to confirm some yardage. I see it as a cultural mechanism that's a window into the world of golf. And that's the perspective that I want to share with you. See, in academia, we study phenomena, and we do that to try to explain things. We think it's just absolutely the most fun thing in the world to read about and study and try to explain why things happen. And we try to find solutions to the everyday problems of the practitioner. And as I tell my students, you know, bridging the gap between the practitioner and the academic is what we try to do. We try to do that to be able to identify and solve problems and to explain phenomena. So I really love the research behind the game. And research is actually more than numbers. A lot of people will think, you know, before you start nodding off, if I say the word research and you start nodding off and the snoring happens and the crickets chirp from the dead silence of that word, it's actually much, much more than that. And we'll talk more about that another time. But research is important. And why is it important? If it's not for research, then where would the world be? Just think about golf. How would golf be different if the academics did not study it? So there's a lot of information out there on golf. There are a lot of podcasts and websites and everything you can think of on the game, on analysis of players and the news and instruction. And every one of those are great. And I hope you listen to them. I want you to listen to them. That's part of your homework. But what about the why behind those stories? How can we explain some of those things that you hear about the game, the culture, the analysis of the players, the problems in golf that, you know, we hear about a lot and so on in golf? Now, you may be starting to question a little bit like, why in the world would I even remotely sit and listen to a professor talking about research, even if it is golf. So you may be questioning that at this point. Well, you know, my students actually say this to me a lot. They'll say, "What in the world, Dr. Price, does theory or a research study have to do with anything? That's not the real world." That's what they'll say. "This is not something I'm going to use when I graduate and get out there." Well, actually, I tell them it has everything to do with the real world. Academics develop and we test theories to discover more about what my students are studying so they can take the theories and the models and the frameworks that the practitioners have learned about, send that into the practitioner world, and you will see this gap being decreased. So golf is no different. Those theories in the academic studies are extremely useful for the everyday golfer, golf practitioner, or anyone having to do anything with the game. And theories have practical application. For example, we as academics publish papers, we publish books, book chapters, white paper, all kinds of things. And one of the main avenues for disseminating this knowledge is to put them into a journal, an academic journal. And believe it or not, there are vast amounts of journals that focus on different areas, sports or retail or whatever you can possibly think of. There's probably a journal for it. But as I said, there are many that exist for sport. But how many of those actually get read? The average article that goes into one of these journals is read about 8 times, maybe 9 if you're lucky. But what good is that? That's my question about journals. They are useful. They really are. But how does that help the game of golf if it's read 8 times? Not much. It doesn't help that much. So that information needs to get out there. It's relevant and it's useful. And it doesn't do a whole lot of good sitting in the library on the shelf in a journal and it's only read 8 or 9 times. So let me go and talk a little bit more about what we're going to try to do here. When I first started researching golf, which has been a while, I noticed there was something missing from the vast majority of the research that's out there. There's a lot out there on golf, and it comes from all different perspectives, the business side, the playing side, cultural side, but a huge gap existed. And that main gap, as I saw, was, can you guess? This is your pop quiz for the moment. It was women. That there's a lot of good research out there, but very little had to do with women and the issues surrounding the women's game. There's very little perspective there. Now, I can hear the question already. You know, you're raising your hand, so I'm going to call on you. You may say, "Wait a minute, Dr. Price, there are not as many women as men play. Men play more. There's more men out there playing." Yes, good point. Why should there even be written about the women's game if women aren't playing? Well, yes, you're right. The stats do show that men play more, but I liken it to why the argument that women's golf isn't as popular as men's. Why is there such a huge disparity with that? Well, you can argue that as much press and media time or exposure that women's golf gets, there's not much there, very little. No wonder it's not popular. When you get a few sentences in your local paper, this is impacting how the game is perceived. It even possibly moving over into the men's game a little bit. But same with research. If there's very little written and studied about how we can know, you know, more about how to solve the problems or make the women's game better for everyone or make it more popular, what can we do about that? How can we, quote, we hear this all the time, grow the game, grow the game. Well, how can we grow the game, as they say, if we don't know the why behind it? So on this podcast, we're going to focus on the academic side of golf, namely women's golf. What you won't get here, so you know that, this is on the syllabus, right? What you won't get here are things like instructions or big piles of player interviews. You can get that somewhere else. And I want you to listen to that. There are many pods out there for that. This one's going to explore more of the why of golf. We'll look at the studies about golf and the findings and how it relates to the real world of golf, and also from the perspective of women's golf. So that way, when you listen to these other pods and read other websites in the news, you can look at it a little bit differently. You can say, oh, maybe this is why this is happening. You know, we'll discuss the studies out there on women's golf and show why it matters to the game overall. We'll look at older studies and we'll look at newer ones and everything in between. So, you know, remember, we've watched women not being allowed to play on the same course as men in the past. Or, oh, well, oops, I guess I should, does this still happen? Or play only a few holes on a course which they were only allowed to play on. So we've come a long way, but, you know, back then you weren't able, as a woman, you weren't able to use your driver or a big club because the display of power was unbecoming of a woman, that you weren't supposed to be able to show your power in a swing. Now, if you watch any of the women's golf now, thankfully they have not heard this advice. And you can see some of the yardage that is coming out of these swings and the power of the force of the swings that we are seeing. But thank goodness they didn't have to think about wearing their bustle that day when they play. Right? So all of these past cultural norms, though, still find themselves in golf today. We'll talk about those. For example, why are the front tees still called the ladies' tees in so many cases? There's a study about that, so we can look at it from the academic side to find out why this happens. Or, for example, why do commentators frame female athletes and comment more about their appearance than they do with the male athletes? Do you think that golf is guilty of this? There's a study on that, and I have an answer. And finally, is there a hidden sexism in the scorecard that you use at your local course? There's an answer for that as well. Or I have one more. How can we explain that female athletes are judged not only on performance, but on physical attractiveness and other attributes when they're trying to build their personal brands, when this isn't true with male athletes? Do you think that golf is guilty of this as well? So there's a study about that too. And what we're going to do here is to talk about it and hopefully offer some suggestions on how to move forward. Now, you've heard many times that golf is hard, and it is, but it's an amazing game. It has such a rich history with such amazing players from both the men's and the women's side. But see, there's more to that story. It's not just statistics. It's not just an amazing shot that won a tournament. It's the story of the academic side of golf. And it has something to tell. It has something to contribute. And it's a side that's unique. It's a side that offers theories that are interesting, that are applicable, and are extremely relevant for solving practical problems and giving useful solutions to the world of golf. So I hope that you'll join me on this journey every month as we talk golf and academia and women's golf and so, so much more. So we're going to explore the who, what, and when of golf from a lens that's not often considered. Read, I want you to read, this is your homework. Read, listen, and watch all the golf you want, as much as you possibly can get in there. But then listen to this one and let's tell the in-between the lines story. And as I tell my students, always, always ask why. So there's no homework this week too much, except maybe to watch more golf, which we can all handle that. But you never know in the future if we're going to have some pop quizzes or other homework. I'm really excited to bring you this podcast, and thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you next time for On the Tee with Dr. P.